Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you heard and read the gospel a few minutes ago, did you get the impression that Jesus was cold, almost cruel to this woman? The one who never got tired of healing the sick and driving out demons in his homeland of Israel just kept walking away when this poor woman was begging for his mercy. You know, the constant cries started to bother the disciples, sort of like when a baby is crying in church, or maybe you see a stubborn child at Walmart or something like that, and all they could think was just help this woman and get her out of the way. She's embarrassing everybody. Try to imagine, if you will, modern media writing about this story. Jesus is a misogynist. He's a racist. The one who claims to be the savior of the world, he hates women. Can you about imagine? And then Jesus, he doesn't help matters a whole lot when the only thing that he says is, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, Jesus' ministry was, in a sense, limited to the lost sheep of Israel. That's true. But is his love unlimited? Or does he really reach out to all people? Well, the Canaanite woman was thoroughly convinced that Jesus could be her help. And because of that, Jesus said, you have a great faith. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. Of the Pharisees in his own land, he said they were people of no faith. They belonged to the devil. About his disciples who studied with him day by day, he said, you are people of little faith. But to this woman, a Canaanite, and to a Roman centurion, he said, now that's a great faith. So what makes faith great? Jesus dealing with the woman from Cana teaches us three things. Number one, it's Christ-centered. Number two, it's persistent. And number three, it's confident. How many of you remember your Old Testament stories? How many remember the name Jezebel? Raise your hand if you remember the name Jezebel. Jezebel was the wicked wife of that awful King Ahab. Jezebel brought into the northern kingdom of Israel, to God's people, the idea of Canaanite worship. And Canaanite worship was the most disgusting worship of all. It included things like child sacrifice and a lot of abhorrent sexual practices involved in their worship services. Jezebel was from the region of Tyre and Sidon. So we know what kind of religion existed in that particular area. And that's what makes this Canaanite woman so different and so special. She knew about Israel's God, the true God, and the promise to send the Savior. When she calls Jesus Lord, the Son of David, she recognizes that he's the Savior of the world. And by calling him Lord, she's signifying that she knows that he is someone who is mighty in battle. She herself was engaged in a gruesome battle. Her daughter was possessed by a demon, and she was in great agony, and mom suffered alongside of her. She cried out, Lord, because she knows that Jesus is the Lord, the mighty one in battle, as we learn in Psalm 24. This woman lived in a land of many gods. And no doubt she learned how to bow down to them in her home and offer offer incense and offerings of all sorts to her gods, not only in her home, but in the center of the city. And no doubt she pleaded and begged her gods to bring relief to her daughter. She sought peace with them, and she found nothing. But now, she knew the Lord, the Son of David. You know, one of the really, really bad tragedies of 9/11, 22 years ago, actually took place after the event, after the fires were out and the dust had started to settle. There was a big prayer service that took place in Yankee Stadium. And Buddhists and imams and rabbis and New Agers and spiritists and priests and even some Christian clergy held hands to pretend to pray to the God above, not necessarily wanting to offend each other with a definition of who God is. If only they would have learned the lesson from this Canaanite woman. If they could have only known at that moment that the only peace, true peace, comes from him who hung on a cross for the sins of the world. If only they would have known that the only one who could bring peace and salvation to them and the 3,000 people that had died in that event was the one who rose from the dead after 3 days, the only God who sits at the right hand of the Father. The gods of Islam and Judaism and Shintoism and New Age and every other religion are impotent and worthless. That's what the Canaanite woman learned. People may have been holding hands, thinking that they were uniting all of their gods as one, but in the end, the God of heaven and earth was pulling away his hands and saying, I will not give my glory to another. The woman of Canaan knew it. By grace, you and I do too. Because God put his hands on us in holy baptism and claimed us as his own, even when we were dead in sin. His Son took away our sins and filled us with Christ-centered faith by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word and the sacrament. All idols underfoot be trod, we say, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. And knowing this is what makes faith great. It's Christ-centered. It's not something that we can make, not something we create. It's something that the Lord has worked into our heart. And first and foremost, we have to say, Holy Spirit, thank you for giving us a Christ-centered faith. But if Christ-centered faith is the key, and if she had that, then why did Jesus treat her the way he did? Well, his intentions weren't based on chauvinism or racism or anything like that. They were meant to teach a lesson. A lesson for us who so often probably have to admit we have a little faith. Faith is also persistent. Persistence is what makes faith great. And this woman wouldn't stop bugging Jesus. The text tells us that she continually cried for help at that moment. And the disciples probably were pretty frustrated about it. And then Jesus tells her, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And you think everything is going against her, but she still begged, Lord, help me. And so the Lord drives you and me to him today. Not as a genie in a bottle who has personal grudges or a puppet to fulfill every one of our desires. He's in charge, and that's a good thing because he knows what's best for us. Our lives are filled with our own demons, aren't they? Whether it's aging, sickness, loss of a job, relationships that are filled with all sorts of trouble and strife. Maybe it's the nagging guilt that you feel when you think of your own failures and sins. We know we can turn to Him because we know that He promises He will hear us, but why does it seem so often that He just keeps walking away? It's important to remember what a weightlifter has to learn. Heavy weight is the only way that you get stronger. The more pain, the more gain. That's what Job learned. And it's what the woman of Canaan had to learn too. Jesus pressed on her shoulders, not to bring her harm, but to strengthen her, to make her even more persistent. And He deals no differently with us. Ask and it will be given you. Really, it's a present tense in the Greek. You keep on asking and it will be given you. Seek. No, you keep on seeking. And you keep on finding. And the door will be open to you. What makes faith great is persistence. It's persistent because the Lord tells us that He won't turn away from those who come to Him. Faith is persistent because it knows that Jesus will never turn His back on us and will never walk away. And so we pray, Lord, give me a faith that is persistent. And then along with that comes this last concept of confidence. You'll notice that she didn't argue with Jesus' statement, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. It's interesting. There's a couple of interesting things in here. The Jews, who were, in a sense, racist to the Gentile world around them, would call their enemies dogs, but they would use a term that meant wild dogs. Jesus used the term for a house pet. Now, my grandson, Clay, is about a year old. And the family dog's favorite place, if you've had kids, you all know this, his favorite place in the whole wide world is right underneath the high chair. Because he knows he's going to get fed every day under that high chair. It's exactly what Jesus is telling this woman. The lady of great faith was not asking Jesus to deny the children of Israel the rightful bread of grace, but she picked up on that play of words. She was a house pet who was invited to the leftovers because God's of Israel's grace, it's enough for everyone. He was inviting her to eat from that banquet of grace. And alongside of that, he told her, your daughter's healed. Mark tells us, it will be done for you just as you desire. The demon has gone out of your daughters. And notice the other part of her confident faith. She didn't offer a rebuttal. Lord, I'd really like it if you'd come to my house so I could see this happen. She didn't ask him, are you telling the truth now? Or are you just pulling my leg? She didn't say, Lord, give me some immediate sign right here. Jesus spoke, she listened, and Jesus' words did not let her down. Has Jesus' word of promise ever let you down? Have you ever felt lonely and thought He wasn't present in your life, and then all of a sudden you realize that He was there all along? Have you ever thought that maybe Jesus couldn't forget that one sin that just bothers you all the time? But then you come to the gospel and you hear again and again that all sins have been washed clean. Have you ever wondered how you're going to make it through the day? Or the next day, And then when you put your head down on your pillow at night, you stop and you think, I don't know how the Lord got me through this one. Jesus' words are true, whether we feel like they're true or not. So when we are facing death, he tells us that death is nothing more than a shadow. Shadows can't hurt you because he's conquered it for us. So we can face issues of life with confidence, and we can face our own mortality and death with confidence as well. What makes faith great? It's simply confidence in the promise of God. That again is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work he does each time that we recall our baptism as we stand here before the font, or when we sit with the Word of God in front of us in private meditation, or when we come to the font and we receive the words of forgiveness and the words of his presence in our life. Let us grow in our desire to share those good things with others as well. Because Jesus isn't a racist. He isn't an elitist. He is the Savior of all. And all need to hear that good news. He's anything but cruel. Let us not forget that. You and I have all the tools for a great faith, because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us those tools. And maybe it's said of us as well. Child, your faith is Christ-centered. Your faith is persistent. Your faith is confident. That's great. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.